You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we talk to Wisconsin conservative radio host Charlie Sykes about what the future looks like for anti-Trump Republicans.
First, Donald Trump has had a contentious relationship with the media. During the election campaign, Trump called out reporters by name when he was unhappy with their coverage, restricted reporters to press pens at his rallies, and in general, reached out directly to voters through social media in huge numbers. Here's Trump being asked about what to expect about covering a future Trump presidency.
We have to read probably libelous stories, or certainly close, in the newspapers, and the people know the stories are false. I'm going to continue to attack the press. Look, I find the press to be extremely dishonest. I find the political press to be unbelievably dishonest. I will say that.
Some Trump supporters and Trump himself say the mudslinging started because the media was unfair to Trump, emphasizing the negative or misrepresenting stories in their coverage of him.
Now that Trump has won the election, questions remain about how much access Trump will give reporters, how the White House press corps will cover him, and whether the media itself will have the power it once did now that it faces coverage in the era of social media and a rocky relationship with the president-elect.
Dave Weigel joins us now. He covers politics at the Washington Post and is this semester's public affairs writer in residence at UW-Madison. Dave, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
In terms of influence and public opinion, how would you describe the state of mainstream media right now, talking about outlets like the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, NPR? How would you describe where the mainstream media is now that the election is over?
Well, not in a very strong place, frankly. I think economically you're seeing some papers, not the Washington Post, but some papers lay people off. When it comes to trust, the Pew Research poll today, after the election, finds the most voters giving us a D, or I should say an average grade of D when you ask all voters how the media did. Some of that, I think, is because we are twinned in their mind with pollsters who did not have a very good election. Some of that, I think, is anger from both parties at what they saw. And I've encountered some of this, not in a hyper-negative way, but I've encountered criticism from Clinton supporters that the media focused on her emails to the exclusion of Donald Trump's problems. And you already heard what Donald Trump said about the media, so I think you're getting hit on both sides.
Now,
getting hit on both sides, I should say.
Right. In this election, it was clear that Donald Trump was a lot of times unhappy with the press. We talked about some of those examples. And he did tweet a lot. He did Facebook. Mm. He did social media. His Twitter account had about 13 million followers, about 12 million likes on Facebook. Is this, do you think, the first president who didn't actually need good press to win?
Not the first president. I mean, Richard Nixon didn't have very good press in 1972. In 68, yes. This is kind of a gimmick for modern politicians to run against the press. The difference this time, I think it's very hard to argue that the coverage of Hillary Clinton was not more negative on a substantive basis than the coverage of Donald Trump. Now, there was coverage of Donald Trump that usually took the frame of how will he wriggle out of this mistake he made for himself. And a lot about process things that we care about, like why can't he keep a campaign manager on the job. At the same time, the stories about Clinton were far more negative about her trustworthiness to be president. And just looking back, a lot of the framing of the election, even when she had a lead, was more why isn't she pulling it away, is because of the trust questions. In the final month, you had her campaign literally sabotaged by hackers, and more coverage of that, I think, than a lot of negative things about Trump. So I understand where the Clinton supporters' anger comes from when they look at this election and say, how much of this is her fault for making it close? How much of it is you guys in the media? I'm kind of trying to disembody myself and point about this now. You guys in the media for going negative on her and not describing this as a threat embodied by Trump.
Now, as someone who covered this race for the Washington Post on a more personal level, what was the experience like for you?
Well, I've never covered a campaign this closely. I've flew, I think, about 150 planes. That is not the best determinant of whether you're doing a good job or not. But, I mean, for the first time, if something was happening, I was able to kind of to quickly chase it, see it for myself. Had better sources than before. Every 4 years, you have a greater aggregate of sources. So it was really edifying experience for me. And looking back over what I wrote, the campaign, partly because I'm not one of the people who just makes predictions about who's going to win and who's going to lose. A lot of it holds up. I mean, I spent a lot of time with sort of the emerging Democratic majority in states that have not been competitive, like Texas and Arizona, Colorado. I looked back at that after the election. I saw that to be true, and I would not have seen it if I was just kind of at my desk. I've never had a job where I just settled for being at my desk. My motto is there is no story there. The stories are outside.
Dave Weigel is with us now. He covers politics for the Washington Post, and talking about kind of what comes next now that the media is coming out of this contentious relationship with President-elect Donald Trump. And Dave, that's my next question for you. What does come next? This isn't a relationship that started out on a good foot. So what can we expect going forward?
I didn't quite hear the question.
What comes next for the media covering Trump? He's in the White House now, and this has not been a great relationship between the mainstream media and Trump.
I think Donald Trump's relationship with the media is pretty. It's petty, but it's kind of a conflation of needs. The media needs the clicks and eyeballs that he delivers. He needs the media to validate what he's doing. And I think even his transition process, these happen, you know, every 8 or 4 years. We forget how they went. It's really unusual for reporters to have a camera pointed at everyone who walks in to kiss the ring, figuratively speaking, of the presidential of the incoming president. And he likes being covered by the media. He doesn't file suit after he threatens to, kind of infamously. I mean, the guy is constantly threatening to go after somebody legally if they write a negative story and then never does so. So I'm not trying to be glib about this. I know people who are very worried about actual crackdowns on the press, and there are luckily few legislative or even executive ways for him to do that, But I think this is somebody who's going to react petulantly if the media can cover them negatively, and then snap back pretty quickly if he feels like there's a way for him to get positively covered.
Do you have any concerns about access? That is something that some reporters are particularly looking at the White House press corps and having that access that historically has gone back decades, about having that sort of same access continue. Do you share any of that?
I don't really care about that. I'm kind of unique in that I think my motto is that you're either a source or you're a target. And it's kind of better for the country often if the media is going after the White House, not just kind of asking them to comment all the news of the day. I think a lot of very good White House reporting is going to be done this year. It's not necessarily going to be done by the people who wind up in the briefing room. Some of them will do very good stuff, but that's a pretty minor part of the job. If he restricts that part, I think he's going to be making a big mistake, because in lieu of getting answers to, you know, steady questions every day, the press is going to go looking for other stories.
If you're talking about being a source or a target, and you're someone who's covering the White House, Donald Trump, doesn't that mean you're almost by necessity going to have a confrontational relationship?
Well, that's what it should be. It doesn't need to be pointlessly confrontational. It should be critical, and it should be questioning. And I feel you've already kind of noticed in interviews that mostly Kellyanne Conway of the Trump team has submitted to over the last week, there's almost a sense of surprise when they realize they are no longer able to pivot on any point by saying, well, Hillary Clinton. Kellyanne Conway said in a CNN interview today that the press will have a role in promoting what Donald Trump is doing. Well, that's absolutely not our job. And so I'm not saying the press is going to be persnickety for the sake of it. I'm saying that the press is, there are not many jobs laid out in the Constitution. One reason our job is because we are going to be looking for abuse and violations of the law, and, you know, covering history when it happens, covering something good when it happens. But the Trump transition so far has actually been a pretty target-rich environment. If you are a reporter looking at corruption or double dealing or those things, that's not going to stop when he's president. That's probably going to accelerate.
Do you think anything should change about how the press covers Donald Trump now that he's in the White House, but more than it just being about Donald Trump, it being a candidate in the White House who is incredibly successful using social media on his own terms, who displayed a lot of independence? Should there be any sort of different approach here?
A different approach in how the media approaches it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there should. I think the media spent too much time chasing every ball that Trump threw, and it did a little bit this weekend with the Hamilton story. The the bias in journalism, I think, is not so much political. It's towards conflict, and it's towards things that are easy to write about. And I'm not saying, hopefully I'm not including myself in this, and I work with people who don't settle for easy stories, who are doing nothing but investigating. I'm just saying there's a bias for, let's say, TV media, which is more what I'm talking about. This, can you believe he said this? Can you believe that happened? And some of that, I think, was accentuated by the campaign, because could you believe he said this? You could swing it right back to something that Hillary Clinton did, make it a he said, she said. And I don't think that's tenable for 4 years. I think the Trump campaign is honestly, or the Trump team is going to be surprised when people don't just listen to them blame somebody else for something that goes wrong.
We're talking with Washington Post political reporter Dave Weigel right now about what to expect from the media in Trump-era Washington after an election season spiked by tensions between Donald Trump and members of the press covering his campaign.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you hope to see the media covering the Trump presidency? Should the tradition of a press pool that follows a president wherever they go continue? What should the media take away from what might have gone wrong or right in election 2016? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're talking with Washington Post political reporter Dave Weigel about how the media should approach coverage of Donald Trump after an election season marked by tensions between Trump and members of the press who were covering that campaign. Here's the sounds of a crowd at a Trump rally booing reporters in the press pen.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What should the media take away from the campaign, from election 2016? What are you hoping to see in coverage of Donald Trump's transition and then his presidency? Should the tradition of a White House press pool continue with regular briefings? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Jake with us in Milwaukee. Jake, hi.
I've listened to a lot of right-wing radio, and I'm sure you're familiar with the term right-wing echo chamber. And what they like to do is to say something, repeat it even though it's not true, but so it can do damage. So what happened, obviously, with the emails from Hillary Clinton with James Comey, with possible Russian intervention, the media took that story and went with it regardless of if there was any truth to any of this or not. And I'm wondering if the media is going to be doing the propaganda work for the Trump campaign, because they failed miserably with this.
Jake, thanks for that. Interesting point of view there. Dave, what do you say to that? That the media shouldn't, run with, gee whiz, look at this statement or look at this story. Should they not cover stuff that's not been vetted properly or something, or isn't seen as worthy?
That's a big question. What he just said is something I've thought about and I've heard a lot from readers. And I think we would have heard less of it, but we would have heard some of it had Clinton won. There is a real sense among people in the Clinton campaign, I think accurately, that they were on track to win the election. They made some mistakes. It got closer in the Midwest than they should have let it get. But they were on track to win, and then stolen emails, the FBI closed it. And when they tried to point this out as a reason they lost, they're accused of deflecting blame. That is something that you can on a human level, see why that's frustrating. And so I think there's nothing they can really do to litigate it. They're going to reform the party anyway. That's not something also that you can just get the media to change. The media is, again, the bias is towards what's new and what's a conflict. So with some of that, all you can do is hope to, I guess, have better email security. And I'm not being glib about it. I think when people study the election in a more academic arm's length, they're really going to investigate what the effect of all that was on this really historic shift in American politics.
Jake, thanks a lot for that. And just to follow up, before we get to our next call, I want to make sure we get our callers in. But Jake said the media, quote, failed miserably. And it sounds like a lot of people think like that, mm-hmm. given the grade you gave at the beginning, a D. Most people think...
I didn't give it. I was quoting the...
You were right, that you said people had graded the media in general. Yeah. You're reporting on that. But, I mean, obviously it seems like there's some damage control to be done. I mean, do you think... Are you hearing conversations in your newsroom or with reporter colleagues of yours that maybe the media would like to try different approaches?
So not quite that directly. It's more that Trump, I think, having evaded a lot of the normal scrutiny of a candidate is, and some of this was because I think reporters thought that they were covering the election of Hillary Clinton and this interesting Trump sideshow. So there's stuff. I mean, I'm as somebody who's covered a lot of racist movements over the years, just as a something I found interesting and worth following. I'm kind of struck by how many people are surprised to learn the extent of that. So I think there's going to be a lot of coverage of stuff that was obscured before because the sense was it wasn't going to matter.
All right, well,
now it matters. Now it matters. Now there's really not much of a dispute that it matters.
I'm going to go next to Josie. Josie's with us in Sheboygan. Josie, hi.
Hi. I was going to say, this guy, Trump, is a master manipulator, and he did manipulate the press. They were getting, the only thing that they were really getting out of it was the interest of the people, because he acted like such a buffoon that people were fascinated by it and they tuned in, and so the stations made a lot of money. And I never remember ever having heard a candidate or seen a candidate on a TV show calling in instead of appearing in person. I mean, it's just so insane. And I believe that nobody, including myself, although I was very scared towards the last week that he might get in, that nobody really believed he would become president. I mean, it's just...
Josie, thanks for that. And what about Trump's savviness being part of the media and maybe, as Josie says, maybe using the media?
Well, that's completely true. Yeah, I think he is a better manipulator of media than anyone who's ever run for president. I think even Ronald Reagan... His experience was at a couple levels. I mean, beyond his acting, he had a very good understanding of radio and ways to get around the press. But I think he operated within its confines a lot more. And, you know, he said, I don't think Reagan had a full-on strategy of making a wild statement and then hoping the media would chase it for 2 days. I think when he did, it was a mistake. Trump perfected something that threw the media off the scent of real stories. The one thing, the caveat I'd add is that person who just called, I think, was very astute. I was disappointed this year that more people didn't do their own research, and I'm not hectoring, hopefully, but the more people didn't do the research to discover what this guy believed, or what Hillary believed. I've seen a lot of post-election analysis of what Hillary should have run on, and one thing that's been frustrating to me is that more than ever, literally more than ever in human history, you can look up what a candidate's running on. I mean, it's up to you whether you trust them or not. But you can find out their plans pretty easily. You know, there's this awkward new patois in politics where somebody makes a stirring statement and then they say their campaign website. They do that because you can actually find out what they believe. And one thing that was frustrating was because there are a lot of distractions. Yes, it was excruciating sometimes to watch what cable's covering to the exclusion of real news. But it's really up to people if they want to turn that off and go online and find out something from the candidate. Very easy to do that.
Let's go back now. And Josie, thanks for that call. I want to take another call now. We've got Buck with us in Sturgeon Bay. Buck, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm one of Trump's deplorable supporters. I think we're overthinking this, and I'm a pretty simple guy, but I don't think we can blame the media. We can't blame the FBI. We can't blame the Russians. I think people have made it mind up a long time ago, and they're just sick of the way the last 8 years have gone, and we were ready for some real change. It's plain and simple.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Buck. I'm curious. So how do you think the media did at its job, informing you about the candidates, telling voters what they need to know if they agreed with platforms or if there was a character deficit in either candidate? What do you think about that part?
Well, there's too many ads because they would run almost back-to-back with one car ad separating them. And it was oversaturation. You don't know what to believe or who to believe, who twisted it, who paid for it. And I watched the candidates, and I watched how our politics were run for the last 8 years, and I just said, I've had enough of it.
All right, Buck, thank you a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Dave, to get at some of what Buck was saying, he's saying, you know, it's not really the media's fault. This was the way, this is what America wanted. And that's his point of view, obviously. But, I mean, do you think there is something to that? Media is getting blamed too much for taking a hit in this election, not doing a good job. And it was kind of just a tricky election.
No, I think we could have done a better job. It was tricky, but we could do a better job. And I think, really, no one can blame one factor in an election that is decided by fairly close results in a couple of states. I do think there was there was coverage of how things might affect Clinton disconnected from whether it was a real story. For example, the FBI story at the very end, it seemed unlikely to anyone who actually covered the FBI that he was going to find new information in Anthony Weiner's laptop, but it was covered as something that could damage her. And that sort of coverage, I really would like it if we move on from that. If we don't just cover this meta story, because a lot of, and again, I'm going to finger TV on a lot of this. A lot of TV is people who may not know the subject terribly well talking about how this could lead to political effects. So that's, let's just let that play out. Let's report the facts and not get obsessed with whether something's going to damage a candidate. Because if there's one thing we learned this election, we have no idea.
And Dave, just super briefly, do you think the media can turn around public opinion about how they do their job?
I'm skeptical in the short term. In the long term, I think if there is very good coverage that reveals real things about Donald Trump's administration, then we can come back. But there are just problems in the way people who now have the ability to seek media from anywhere view the media given to them from mainstream outlets. And I don't know how we reverse that. It's a conversation we're having, and I haven't fixed it. Although it was helpful being in Madison to talk to people about what we could do, I don't think we came up with the one solution.
Dave, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dave Weigel, political reporter for The Washington Post, talking with us about how the media should cover the Trump presidency and how the media landscape might be changing after election 2016.
Still time to share your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page. What's your advice for the American media, mainstream media, covering the transition of Donald Trump?